morning, G afternoon, G evening. Welcome to the Giants 100 Fan Fuel Podcast, everybody. Here at the Giants 100, we invite Giants Nation to join the conversation. We talk football, and you know what we do. We keep it 100 and stay true, the Big Blue. I'm your host, Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day. Now, before we get started, we would like to remind everyone to follow the Giants 100 on all social media platforms at the NYG 100. Once again, that's at THENYG100. Hit that follow, like, and subscribe button for the Giants 100 exclusive updates, giveaways, and more. Also, visit our website at thegiants100.com and sign up for your chance to be a guest on the Giants 100 Fan Fuel Podcast and join the conversation. All right, let's get started. Thank you for tuning in today as we continue to celebrate our New York Football Giants centennial season. Today's episode is called Enough is Enough, and it's about our 0-2 start, our first for Daboll as a head coach. So is it a quarterback problem, a coaching problem, or just a giant damn problem? According to Brian Daboll, the Giants will be without Graham Gano for at least a few weeks after pulling his hamstring trying to chase down a player. On Monday, the Giants worked out four kickers to replace Gano while he recovers from his hamstring injury. Over the weekend, reports surfaced that not only did Gano have some leg issues on Saturday before the game, but Coach Daboll also only had 52 active players available at kickoff. Why in the hell didn't Daboll elevate a kicker with an extra roster spot? These are the type of oversights that has Giants Nation in a frenzy. Elementary play calling, roster oversights, and now sideline tantrums on top of that? Is he tired of losing? Because I know the hell I am. Are there behind-the-scenes issues, football issues, that we are unaware of? Is he not up for the task? I'm just asking the hard questions. Okay, Giants Nation, where do I begin? We're 0-2. What the hell's going on? Week 1 against the Vikings, our play on the field was egregious on all three phases of the game. I knew on the opening drive, when we couldn't punch it in the end zone, we were in trouble. We allowed Sam Darnold to look like he was the second coming of Fran Tarkenton. Going into week 2, our Giants lost 21-18 to the Commanders, hitting seven field goals. You want to hear some funny shit? According to CBS Sports NFL writer Jeff Kerr, the Giants became the first team in NFL history to score three or more touchdowns while not allowing any touchdowns and still lost the game in regulation. Now let that marinate in your soul for a minute. However, with all that said, there was at least one bright moment that we'd like to shed light on, which brings us to our next segment called Rising Star. Today, we recognize our third-round pick out of Kentucky, DB Drew Phillips, at 5'11", 180 pounds. This young man played like he wanted to win. To me, the most versatile rookie cornerback in the league. With his 4.48 speed, I feel like he can be a real difference maker in this Giants secondary. With 12 total tackles, 7 solo, 2 tackles for loss, a QB hit, and a sack, Drew Phillips is making his presence felt on the gridiron. Apparently, I'm not the only one who thought he balled out. Super Bowl champion Ryan Clark wrote on X that he believes Drew Phillips is going to be an absolute stud in the NFL at the nickel position. And we agree, the sky's the limit. Shoot for the stars, young man. And now, it's time for a Giants shout-out. Today's Giants shout-out is dedicated to New York Giants defensive end, Kayvon Thibodeau. The Giants star player is responsible for creating an organization called the Dream Foundation, which stands for Journey to Readiness and Enrichment and Academic Mentorship, which he started during his senior year at the University of Oregon. His mission is to empower youth in under-resourced areas with confidence and wisdom by providing educational, mentorship, and career exploration opportunities. The nonprofit's inaugural gala at MetLife Stadium serves as a celebration for what has accomplished and is an inspiration for Thibodeau to continue his foundation's impactful work. Thibodeau also starred a mini-mentor student community service program, offered financial literacy classes and life skills workshops across the country, volunteered at the Community Food Bank of New Jersey, helped pack more than 1,000 lunches for people in need in Los Angeles, and hosted a youth football and cheer summer camp, as well as several conditioning camps to promote healthy living. And that's why Kayvon Thibodeau deserves a giant shout out, because real recognizes real. For more information, go to thedreamfoundation.org. All right, everyone. That concludes our Big Blue review as we get ready for the segment we've all been waiting for called Keep It 100. What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Fan Fuel portion of our podcast, where here we go one-on-one with Giants Nation in a segment where we like to speak our piece about the state of the franchise. And no matter what, we always keep it 100. Today, we have a special guest. You know what I'm saying? Repping that Little Rock, Arkansas. All the way out in Arkansas. Yes, we out there in Arkansas. My man, we got my man Cam. Cam is on the show. What's going on, Cam?
What's up, my man?
How's everything going with you?
Living the life. That's all you can do. Living the life.
Hey, man, I hear you on that one, man. Yes, yes. So let me ask you this, man. First of all, well, before we even get into it, man, let the world know, let Giants Nation know a little bit about yourself. What is it that you do?
Man, I'm just, a window tinter out of Little Rock, Arkansas. I wrap cars. Competition tent. As far as window tint competitions.
Okay.
Other than that, just home with the family and the dogs. I mean, that's all the other time.
Right.
That right. Sunday, don't call my phone because I'm not going to answer.
Not going to answer. I like that answer. I know that's right. Especially when Giants football is on, man. I know that's right. Yes.
I got red zone. It's 7 hours straight, and I'm going to watch every bit of it.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to go ahead, man. We're going to jump right into it, Big Cam.
I got you.
Tell Giants Nation, man, when did you become a New York Giants fan?
Man, I guess, like, what was it, 2005?
Okay.
Is when it really started setting in, because it was right before our first Super Bowl win. If you don't know, I'll tell you what brought it on. I hate Tom Brady.
Because you hate Tom Brady.
And we beat him twice.
Yes.
And then after that, I was an Eli Manning fan. Like, and really, once we drafted Odell Beckham Jr., that sealed the deal. That was it.
So 2005 is when you pretty much became a Giants fan after Eli Manning.
2006. That's kind of when I started. I guess you say even whenever I started getting interested in football.
Got you. So you weren't interested in football prior to that, though?
No.
Okay, got you.
I was a skateboarder. I mean, that's what I did, you know? I didn't care about any sports, not even just sports in general.
Gotcha.
And then 05 hit. And see, my favorite color is blue. So
no, it ain't nothing wrong with that.
So that kind of added to that started the trend. And then once we beat Tom Brady twice, that was it.
You and every other Giants fan felt the same way, fam. So you ain't the only one.
Like I said, I'm an Eli Manning fan. And that comes from straight up, you know, I guess you could say, his goofiness, his wild personality. And that's because that's who I am. I mean, you know.
Okay.
But when I say goofiness, like, he practiced hard. He worked hard.
He did.
He had a good work ethic. Like,
that he did.
His team loved him. And that's the biggest part of it. Your team got to love you. They're not going to work for you. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, that's a heart-to-heart thing. Just same with the coach. Yeah. If your team don't like your coach, it's done.
We're definitely going to get into that, man. We're going to get into that a little bit later, man. Yes. But you know what? Just to speak on Eli Manning real quick, I will tell you that I agree with you as far as his work ethic. He definitely worked hard, you know, to perfect his craft.
Yeah.
Now, one thing about Eli Manning, like I tell any Giants fan and I tell anybody who's a sports fan, a lot of people used to make fun of Eli Manning. I talked about this with the previous guest that I had. And, you know, he has the perfect fit for New York City. He has the perfect attitude. He has the perfect demeanor because nothing phases him. Because I promise you, if you let the media phase you, the fan base phase you, and everybody else, I promise you, it'll eat you whole. You know what I mean? You know, you'll go crazy. So at the end of the day, man, that was my guy because, yes, he didn't express himself a lot, and no, he wasn't flamboyant or anything like that, but he had the perfect attitude for New York, and that's why I love them as well.
He'd get sacked and get up smiling, you know, like unfazed.
Absolutely.
He never got in this right here.
Right.
Right. It was, I can overcome that.
Absolutely.
I mean, that needs just tough.
Yeah. Definitely tough.
I mean, tough.
Well, let me ask you this, Cam. Explain this to me, man. Explain to me why majority of players that leave the Giants, once they were considered either a flop or way too old to pay or even overpriced at that position, why is it that they go elsewhere and they ball out for the very next team that they play for, a la Will Hernandez, Evan Engram, just Julian Love? I can go on. What is that? Why is that?
Man, I think it's the way they get utilized. Like, you're utilizing them different, you know? And I'm not even saying utilizing them different as far as, like routes ran, stuff like that. I'm talking about where your other receivers come from. I guess you could say play layout. Like, whenever you got players like that, you have to play into their hand. You know, there's with everybody, you got a strength and you got weaknesses. I mean, even though they're pros, everybody got weaknesses.
Absolutely.
You know, alignment ain't fast. I mean, that's a good way to put it.
Right. So,
but you got to play the other players to distract from that. You got to utilize them right. And I think that's a big portion of, I guess you could say, recent day Giants problem. I mean, as far as, you know, why players go, and I'm not even talking about this coach. I'm talking about the last coach. And I mean, several, the last decade. ever since Coughlin left. I can say that. Ever since Coughlin left.
Let me tell you why I'm rubbing my face right now, Cam. Let me tell you why I'm rubbing my face like this, man. I say it all the time. I say, look here. Ever since Tom Coughlin left us, it's just been disastrous. I don't know what. Come on.
We had some downhill runs, you know, at the end of Coughlin's era. We did, but nothing compared to what we've went to. Last year, every time I turn the game on, man, I felt like I needed to turn the circus music on with it. I got you. And I've never been to that point with our team ever. Like, we've had some bad years and stuff, but that was rough.
But why do you think that is, though, Cam? Why do you think that is? It's like, is it the GM? Is it the coaching staff? Is it the owners? Why do you think that is?
At this point, play calling. Basic, man. Compared to a lot of other teams, we're basic. We're vanilla. Like, you know, we need to get into some of the wild stuff. Like, you know, I see all these other teams hitting some plays that I'm like, you know, for one, how did that work? And for two, look what it did.
You know what? We're going to pause on that, man. We're going to get to that. We're going to come back to that, man. I like that answer. But I know right about now, John Mara is sick to his damn stomach right now. I know he is. Watching Saquon Barkley over in Philadelphia right now, looking like the superstar that he was supposed to be for us. You know what I mean? Do you think he's regretting letting him go? Or is he just fronting for the media?
Is he regretting it? Yeah.
Yes. Do you think he's regretting it? Or
if is he himself on the front? Is, yeah. As far as the coaching, and I'm one of those fans that I'm not. I love Barkley. Like, that was my dude. That was jersey I wore. I wore 26. Like, that was my dude. But, and I want him to succeed. Like, I'm loving these. Not, I don't want Philly to win. I hate them. But here's the thing. I'm one of those that Barkley's my dude. And he always will be my dude. Like, he gave us his all. Every time that dude hit the field, he gave us his all.
And I agree.
I'm loving seeing him go to another, not even just them, but any other team, and ball out. Like, ball out. Right. But I think it's the best move for us, man. We had too many holes. But is John Mara regretting it? Yeah. Like, that's the answer to the question.
No, absolutely. And absolutely. Now, I appreciate that answer. You said, I'm going to touch on what you just said a couple of seconds ago. You said too many holes.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with that.
Not even just Barkley. But McKinney. That dude's had a pick two games in a row. Like,
yes, he has.
And when he was on the field, yeah, he had some bad games. But no, he was a stud. I mean, he was a stud. Yeah, man. And he was one of those, like, I don't know if you remember the Vikings game last year, the playoff game.
Absolutely.
He was on the sideline saying before that game, pretty much, you know, this is what we played for. Like, he got everybody in a huddle, the defense. This is what we played for. Like, we got to go out here and give it our all. You need dudes like that. So I'm enjoying seeing these other guys go out and. But what I mean when I say too many holes is we needed to build an O-line. We needed linebackers. We needed – think of every time this team's been to a Super Bowl, low-scoring game, and our defense did what they did. And that's what we need to get back to. Like, we needed to solidify that defense. Like –
talk that talk, Cam.
I mean, that's just the real side of it. Like, there's too many holes, and the O-line is the biggest hole. Daniel Jones ain't the best. I'll say that myself.
Okay.
But at the same time, I don't care who you put behind our O-line last year. They wasn't playing ball.
Got you.
They might have had some good plays here and there. But they wouldn't have. You wouldn't have balled out behind that O-line we had last year. That needed to be addressed. Main priority, like.
Gotcha.
And yes, to do that, you have to free up money. Do I think signing DJ to his contract was a good idea? No. But do I think asking or signing Barkley to his, or letting Barkley walk, I mean? No, I'm not mad at it. We need to free up some money. Like, we needed to build around this team.
You know what, man? let me shift to this real quick with you, man. In week one, man, Darius Slayton posted an image of Saquon Barkley and his stats as an NFC champion, Offensive Player of the Week last week, right? And it's already publicly known that Darius Slayton and Joe Shane don't really see eye to eye. They really don't get along. Because, you know, remember Darius Slayton wanted a new contract last year, you know, and they renegotiated, things of that nature. So so let me ask you this. Do you think that Darius Slayton posting Saquon on his social media, do you think that was a sign of support to his former teammate? Or was it a subliminal diss to the New York Giants organization? Or a request for a trade, an indirect request for a trade?
Man, I'll be honest. I think he's just supporting this dude.
Okay.
And the reason is, I mean, it's also been bought out. Barkley said it. Like, he talked, he talked to Daniel Jones. I mean, they're still, you know, them dudes are brothers.
Right.
I'm not saying the whole team, but, you know, a few select them. Yeah, and I think Slayton is one of those. I mean, he's with them.
Got you. Yeah, I just, you know, to me, and I hear you, Cam, but my, go ahead.
He's another one of those that we could have let walk. Like, as far as his new contract and all that, no, we don't need you walk. We don't need that. Like I said, when I say we need to free up money, we need to free up money. Like, last year was embarrassing and we needed to make a big move. Like,
okay. So let me ask you this. By you saying that, you said we could have just let him walk. So are you not sold on Darius Slayton?
Not completely. Not, here's the thing. I love Slayton, yes.
Okay.
But man, we knew he was drafting a wide receiver. And right. I'm a Louisiana State fan. I done seen what Malik did, and I knew who they were kind of – I knew it. I knew where they was going. We needed a number one. So, and then here's the thing. Hyatt, like I said, I watch all ball. Hyatt was a demon at Tennessee.
Yes, he was.
And here's the thing. He ain't never been really used. Wandell Robinson. I think he's a stud. Like, dude, he good.
Right. And but you know what's crazy? And I was gonna say, you know, speaking of Jalen Hyatt, you know, why did he only get 14 snaps? I just don't understand that. In his past game that just happened. I'm just not understanding that.
I've thought that since because he didn't really do much last year. And when I say that dude was a stud at Tennessee, he was a stud at Tennessee.
Absolutely.
Like, I ain't saying he's breaking tackles and everything else. Like, Malik's a totally different baller. Malik's that, I'll run around you if you let me, but if not, I'm coming through you.
Right.
Whereas Hyatt, you know, that more, I'm going to elude you. But we haven't even seen that. Look, he's a field stretcher. Why hadn't we seen him on no jet sweeps?
Now you really taught you. Wait a minute. Let me calm down.
That goes back to what I'm talking about, the play calling. Like, we and utilizing them. Like, we got to utilize these guys.
You know what, man? Hold on.
Yeah, I don't blow your mind with that one.
Yeah. Matter of fact, you did a lot with that one because I'm gonna tell you right now, play calling in week one was sponsored by Kleenex, man, because we looked like some straight shit. We looked soft, like soft. You know what I'm saying? And as a matter of fact, hold on, I need to bring out one right now. Hold on.
I don't know who's in charge of the defensive tackling. I'm not saying defensive play, but the tackle, they need to be fired.
Right. You see this? Hold on. I'm wiping out my tears, man. I promise you. It was crazy. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, my thing is this. Oh, man. Did he do Giants Nation a favor by taking over the play calling? Should he give the play calling duties back to Mike Kafka?
Man, all right. I have two different feels on that. At the end of last year, I've always known Brian DeBall to be really an offensive genius.
Like, that's what they said.
Whenever he was in Buffalo, that's what he was. An offensive genius. Like, just as far as his schemes. And then here's the thing. Kafka called last year. And that was a complete disaster. Like, that's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I don't even know what they were playing out there. That's just being honest. But so at that point, I was
Behind your
like,
dad? Cool.
but now we got DeBall playing calls again.
Right.
And now here's the thing. DeBall, I'm pretty sure, was playing calling plays whenever we made that playoff run. Now
Okay, so
here's the
you mean
thing. Look at
2022.
Look at what
Okay.
we did that year. Look at our
Okay.
play style difference as far as offense. It's nothing compared to what I don't know what changed. I don't know, man. Because here's the thing, whenever we made that playoff run, we were pulling
Right.
off the plays outside of the box. We were trying. We were, and we're not doing that. You can't tell me that between Wan'Dale Robinson and Jay and
On.
Malik Nabers that we can't make something shape. Like, you can't tell
Look here, man. I'm just
me.
sitting here. I'm just listening to you, and I promise you, it's like my mind is going everywhere right now because I promise you, you are touching on things, man, that I talk to a lot of Giants fans about, and you're hitting on them. You're hitting on them. You know what I'm
I
saying?
mean, that's what you, that's just a realization of it, man.
This.
Put it this way,
Do you
Daniel Jones
okay?
may not be the best passer.
Okay.
But there's ways to make plays outside of Daniel Jones throwing this ball. You got jet sweep. You got play. I mean, if you break out some play action after two downs of running, it's going to
Okay.
work. It's going to work. But here's the thing, run two downs, get yourself, 6 yards out of that. Daniel Jones don't have to throw a long pass. Dump it short. Like, there's ways to make this work.
Cam, is it possible that maybe, just maybe, Daboll is purposely not showcasing all of the playbook so he can expose DJ? Do you think that's a possibility?
Man, DJ's so like
What'd you say? He's so handsome.
DJ is this. Like I mean, I got Daniel Jones' helmet back there. I've supported the dude since, but
Got you.
yeah, I think he's. I'm gonna be honest. After last year in that O line, I think DJ shell shocked. I think he's done. Right?
You know what? I said the same thing to a
If
partner of
he
mine, man.
has.
I promise you, I did.
And when I say shell shocked, I don't mean him play. I mean he's in his head and
Right.
forever. I don't think that
Right.
dude did he have good possibilities? Yeah, I've seen him play great, but not all the time. I'm seeing him make plays and I'm like, how'd you do that? But
Wow.
I think DJ's done at this point.
Which leads me to my next question, Cam. When is it time to pull Daniel Jones? And if you do you go with Drew Lock or Danny or Tommy DeVito? I always say Danny DeVito. Tommy DeVito. So what do you do?
Man, I only reason I say I would pull DJ is because of the injury clause in his contract.
Interesting.
Otherwise, you let him play it out and just see what happens. Just throw your hands up in the air. And now, here's the thing. At that point, they don't need to be like what you were asking me, saving Daniel, as far as
Right.
play calling and all that. No, open it up. Who knows? He
Who
may
knows?
ball.
Okay, so you know what? Let me double down a little bit. Let me double down a little bit. You just said that, you know what? Let him play it out. But let me ask you this. Should the Giants trade for Bryce Young? They benched him down in Carolina.
Nope.
No.
I do
No. I
not
mean,
Bryce Young.
okay.
I think he's too short. I think he's too short. He's not seeing these receivers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or, let's just say, by the sake of argument, let's just say the Miami Dolphins seek a trade with us for Daniel Jones. Did the Giants pull the trigger on that?
Yeah. What are they trying? Hang on. Before I answer that, let me ask you this. What are they trying to trade? What's the trade line, I guess you could say, that you would give it?
You know what? Right about now, if the Dolphins are looking to acquire Daniel Jones, she could trade to acquire
him. They're going to need him bad. Bad.
I got you. So I'm just saying, so if they're looking to get Daniel Jones, I would say, it's kind of hard for me to say because at the end of the day, we know who's the sixth.
If we're talking about a seventh round pick, no.
No, absolutely not. I would never disrespect him like that.
Now, if we're talking about two thirds or even a single second, yeah. Maybe a third and a fourth at the lowest.
Okay. I like how you're talking.
Yeah.
I like how
now,
you're talking.
You asked, which quarterback am I starting after that? You asked at the beginning.
I apologize. Yeah, no, I apologize.
Man, Tommy, now here's the thing.
You're going to skip Drew Lock and just go past him and go to Tommy. Go ahead.
I ain't never seen nothing spectacular out of Drew Lock. I didn't like when we signed him in the first place. I thought there was better options. I hate to fire Shaw. I mean, but Tommy D, I've seen some play ball out of that kid. I've seen some bad stuff too.
Right.
But I've seen him make some plays.
He said, the hell would you like?
Tommy's got that back to what we were talking about, Eli Manning and his energy with the team. And Tommy has that energy with his team when he played.
I got you. Yeah,
now, what do we do after that? We draft a QB.
You know what, boy? I'm loving the way you think, which leads me to my next question. Oh, QB, speaking of future quarterbacks, as of right now, we are 0-2. We are 0-2 right now, and I'm going to get into that in a little bit. But right about now, it looks like we're about to get we're probably in the top three draft pick right now. If the draft was right now, we'd be like the top three picks, in the top three picks. Yeah. There's been rumors that Marvel wants a Manning reunion. Talk about Arch Manning. Should he back off and let the GM do their job? Or should he think about pursuing Arch Manning?
Archie Manning, man, I don't think he's going to come out until 2026 or 2027.
Yeah, it's 2026. It's 2026. He's eligible in 2026.
He may not come out until 2027. But, man, here's the thing. We got Ewers in Texas. We have not seen Arch Manning consistently play football. Like, we hadn't really seen it. Now, whenever Ewers leaves, that's whenever we need to make that. Like, I want to see this dude play a season.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? I want to see this dude play a season. Like, you get to evaluate it. Because here's the thing. Whenever Tommy DeVito, for instance, first came into the game, he made play after play after play.
Right.
But then it started declining. So I want to see him play a season. Now, I like it. If I can see him play a season and he's good, yeah, I'd be down with it.
I got you.
But I want to see him play a season, and then I can make that.
Okay. You know, my thing is, at the end of the day, you know, going back to Daniel Jones, you try to ride with your guy. You know what I mean? You try to ride with your guy. You know what I'm saying? And everybody, you know, they say, you know, well, you know, I don't know if he can think, you know what I'm saying, he can see the field, you know, the way the field is supposed to be seen. He can't make the right plays, the right reads, and things of that nature. But I want to go back to what you said earlier, and I agree with you. That's why I put my head down. I think he's shell-shocked. You know what I'm saying? And I think he's shell-shocked not because he can't improve his game and not because he can't get better. It's because, it's like he was talking about, he got hit too many times. But you know what? But to all fairness, though, and we keep it at 100 here, to all fairness, a lot of those hits wasn't because of the offensive line. No, he needs to learn how to damn slide.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
That, usually the offensive line last year, this year, it is better this year. I give him that.
I think he's improved this year.
Improved right. O-line. But last right. year, I think by his so many games in, he was to the point it wasn't even drop back and look it to who to throw the ball anymore to. It was figure out where to run.
Right.
You know, that was his right. initial rig, is what I'm saying, is figure out where you're going to escape to, because these guys ain't holding nothing. And he knew, and I think he just got it in his head.
Right.
And I think that's why it's so disastrous. And but here's the thing. I think it's fixed now, and he's still got it in his head.
Got you.
He's shell-shocked.
I got you.
And broken.
You know what, man? And broken. Not broken.
Broken.
No, not broken. Well, you know what, man? Let me go ahead and just shift gears real quick, man. Let's talk about this defense, man. This defense that everybody was talking about. Man, damn, already you start laughing.
Just like with Daniel Jones, I ain't giving up on hope, Daniel Jones, this year.
Right.
A piece of me still tells me that he can come out. We can have some good games. Like,
Right.
But I'm finally to the point that I'm, you know, no, we might need to get rid of this dude, you know?
Right.
I'm on that.
On that wave again.
Same way.
You know what? Well, let me ask you this then. At the end of the day, right now, our star defensive players are not getting the quote-unquote accolades or shine that everybody expect them to have. You know what I mean? It ain't looking too good right now. Is Shane Bowen's defense the right fit for us?
I think, dude, I'm gonna be honest with you. Wink did some stupid stuff.
You are in my head, Cam. I promise you, you are in my head.
Wink. But our defense balled out. We need to go back to that.
No. I got you.
And here's the thing.
I got you.
Burns is about the same kind of player as Kayvon in a way. He's bigger.
Right.
And Kayvon, I mean, he got after some people last year. Like, he had some shining moments. I mean,
right.
We need to get back to that.
Right.
I don't think something's not right.
Something's not right. You know, I was talking to a partner of mine, and just this past week, against the Washington Commanders, you know, I was sitting there and I was looking at the defensive schemes and, you know what I'm saying, the play calling and things of that nature. And, you know, everybody's talking about, well, you know, Dexter Lawrence is not getting any sacks, and Kayvon and Brian Burns. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, I said, yo, okay, well, if that's the case then. And then I saw a couple of plays where Kayvon was being double teamed, Brian Burns was being double teamed. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, why don't you try switching them? You know what I'm saying? Maybe put one to the left and one to the right. You know what I'm saying? Just different looks. Now, I understand that, you know, you play certain, your position is your position. Sometimes it's about comfortability. You know what I mean? Some dudes are not comfortable putting their hand in the dirt. Some dudes are not comfortable standing up. I get all that. You know what I'm saying? But when I see Jaden Daniels, and again, for the past two games, we haven't bought a lot of blitz. We haven't bought the blitz a lot.
If you think you're going to beat Jaden Daniels, you got to put pressure on him.
But and that's my point.
If you don't, he's going to slaughter you. Dude, they put up 400 yards. What did he do at LSU?
Come on. I got you.
He put up video game numbers.
He really numbers. Like, right.
And that's right. What he did. And it's right. I'm sorry, man. I thought our D-line, and when I talk D-line, I'm talking Kayvon and Burns.
Dexter
too.
Lawrence and Burns. Right. Got you.
I'll even throw a Karake like that. Pretty much, you know, the front eight.
Got you.
That's what I'm saying when I say, dude, our talent level's so high. We should be destroying an O-line. We should be destroying an O-line.
I like what you're talking, man. I like what you're
and
talking.
We hadn't done it. I was excited about our defensive line coming in. That was my minus Malik Nabers, because that's who I wanted right. from the get-go. I was excited about the D-line. Like, what's right. this going to do?
And right.
You've been impressed.
And, but you know what? You're right about that. Okay.
I don't understand how.
Right. But see, that's crazy to me, man, because, you know, a week ago, when Dexter Lawrence decided to address the media and say that it was disrespectful for Giants fans to boo, you know what I'm saying, to boo the team, you know, and I'm sitting and I'm thinking to myself, I said, you know what? With all due respect, you know what I'm saying, what the hell do you expect? You know what I'm saying? Well, you know what I'm saying? Personally, what I think is disrespectful is the same product that's on the field week in and week out. That's disrespectful to me. You know what I'm saying? Year after year, getting the same results. That's disrespectful to me. You know what I'm saying? And not getting a refund, man, for my hard-earned money to go to MetLife Stadium to watch y'all in that lackluster performance. That's disrespectful to me. So at the end of the day, I mean, there's a couple of guys that try to do, you know, say what they do. Like one guy I'm gonna give a shout out to, and that's damn Drew Phillips. Drew Phillips showed me something this past week. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Drew Phillips. Yeah. Absolutely. Man, come on, son. He showed up. But you know, man. But at the end of the day, man, enough is enough, man. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
I don't know who's in charge of our tackling, like our tackling department. I don't know who runs that, but they need to be fired. Because here's the thing. We are getting to the ball carriers and not tackling them.
Right. Right.
What's going on?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I understand people break tackles every day. That happens.
Absolutely.
But it seems like it's on our defense consistently. Like, and they might go through 2, 3, 4 of them.
I love what you're saying, but I'm hating what you're saying at the same time. Because I swear to God, you are so there. You are so right. Go ahead.
Like, they hit them and bounce off of them. I mean, where's the kapow? Like,
where's the kapow?
Like, did you see the way what's his name on Philadelphia hit that boy last night?
He hit him straight to the ground.
Why can't we do that?
I don't know, man. Maybe they need to put you on the defensive coaching staff.
I think our problems lie deeper than head coach, offensive coordinator, and defensive coordinator. I think it's some of them other people, and I'm not saying Marin either. Like conditioning, there's a reason we always have all these injured players. It ain't all because we play. You can't tell me that. Like, I think it lies on all these little smaller coaches and conditioning and
right. That's interesting. I like that point. I like that point. Because, you know, I got another partner of mine. I keep saying partner because I got so many partners, man, that I talk to, though. But I have a partner of mine that said the same thing, man. He said, you know, with all these injuries and everything is, you know, like that going on, you know, it can't just be the turf. Now, we understand the turf is some shit. You know what I'm saying? But it is some shit, though. But at the same time, we can't all do that. Yes. No. You know what I'm saying? Right. Right. No. So, I'm with you on that one. So, I don't know.
I mean, other teams come and play on the turf, don't they? And they don't leave with the whole team's in a box. I mean.
Yeah.
I'm saying some of them don't, but you can't tell me all of them do. Like,
right. Right.
You can't make me believe that.
No, I got you, man. I got you. Let me ask you this, man. Is it time for us to go back to a 4-3 defense?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, when we had a 4-3 defense, you know what I'm saying? We dominated. We put the fear into opposing offenses. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I don't know. Like I said, it's been done with 3-4 defenses, but I say all the time, you have to have the personnel, the right personnel, in order to run a 3-4. I mean, you have to have special dudes to run a 3-4 defense. But that 4-3, man, that's always been our bread and butter. That always been the bread and butter of the New York Giants, man, from 2000, I would say about 2004, 2005, to after the fourth Super Bowl that we won, the 2011. You know what I'm saying? We've always been 4 down linemen, 3 linebackers. We've always gotten to the quarterback. These stunts and everything like that, I don't know about that. But you tell me your thoughts. Do you think we should go back to the 4-3 defense or stay where we are?
Yeah, that's why Dax is getting double teamed. Think about it.
I got you. I got
you. Think about how many O-line you got. If you're rushing 3.
Right.
How many does that leave on decks every time?
I got you.
At least 2.
2. Right.
That's going to open him up. But at the same time, if they try to double team decks here and there, you know, if decks start getting after him, which you know he will.
Right.
Decks will get – there's some O lineman. He'll run straight through. And that big boy coming.
Right.
But here's the thing. If you do try to throw a double team on Dix at that point, guess who coming? You opened up Kayvon.
Absolutely.
You opened up his door. Yeah, we need to get back to that. Like, go back to what we did that worked.
Got you. Go back to what works. I got you.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. When I say that, there's another thing that you have to do.
Okay.
We need to solidify these corners, and we need to solidify the safety. When I say solidify, I mean we need a stud. Just like I said at the very beginning of this thing, we need to build this defense. If we can build this defense, you don't have to put up a lot of points.
But you do have to put up points, but not a lot of points. But I feel you. You have to put up points, right?
But you don't have to put up a lot. And I think Banks just needs more training. Like I think that kid's got a lot of potential.
Absolutely, he does. Absolutely,
I'm not saying he's Sauce Gardner. I won't go that far. But he's shown some plays.
Got you. You know what? After that atrocious first half of week one, man, and I'm going back and forth, man. You know what I'm saying? I know. I got to. You know what I'm saying? But Giants great Lawrence Taylor, man, made a statement to Carl Banks and said, he could pick 22 of his former teammates and get out on the field and whoop ass. Was he out of bounds for that statement, or was he keeping it at 100? Yes.
He was keeping it real. Like, think about all that trouble Lawrence Taylor been in and everything else. You think that boy's scared to speak his mind?
No, absolutely not.
No.
And that's why he's the greatest. Absolutely no. not. You know, hey, man, look, sometimes in life, man, you know, even though you have to hear the real, you have to hear the raw, and I'm going to use myself as an example, because believe me, there's a lot of people in my corner, man, that help me do what I do, you know what I'm saying, professionally, personally, the whole nine. And sometimes I look at things in a certain way and I don't see it in ways that they are. You know what I'm saying? Of what they tell me how to do it. And it's not because I don't want the advice or want the help or seek the help. It's that when you're not used to doing something a certain way, it's kind of hard to break that mold. But at the same time, just like what Lawrence Taylor said, you know, some people, you know, they felt a little offended by his words and the tone. You know, sometimes you can say some real jacked up mess, but if you say it in a different way, people receive it better. Some people don't care how you receive it. It don't matter if you say it nice or if you say it, you know what I'm saying, harsh. You know, they just don't like the message. You know what I mean? Itself. It just doesn't matter. So at the end of the day, I'm not mad at what Lawrence Taylor said, because maybe that might put a little fire underneath their ass, you know what I'm saying, to get where they need to get. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. But,
I think at this point, there's some college teams out there that might beat us. I just...
Wow, don't do that, Cam. Don't do that.
No, we need to get it together. Like,
Right.
I'm sorry. For our talent level, we are not this bad.
Right.
Like, we are not this bad. Like...
Right. And speaking of talent level, Isaiah Simmons finally saw some action on the field this week, in week two against the Commanders. He didn't play week one. Rumor had it that he got into it with the coaching staffs, so that's why he didn't play. So my question to you is this, because he was a healthy scratch for week one. He could have went ready to go the whole nine. Now I understand that if you broke some rules, some team rules, or, you know, something, you know, that was serious, or it was an egregious, you know, action, I can understand that. But, you know, if you, just because you have some disagreements, if that was the case, if you got some disagreements with the coaching staff, right, is that enough for you not to put the best talent that you have on the field? Because that sounds like an ego problem to me.
We are not in that position to do that. Here's the thing. It'd be different if this team's going off, like, without them.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I can understand. We are not in the position to do that.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. It bothered me, because I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, and I'm not going to say, well, sometimes one person can make the difference in the game, because hell, one play can make a difference in the game. You know what I mean? So
Barkley made a difference last night. One play. Yeah, they started shutting him down late.
Right.
But without him, they don't go down the field those first couple times.
I got you, man. You know what, man?
10 yards of carry.
Yeah. Damn. No. Let's talk about Malik Nabers real quick. I feel for him. I appreciate him. And I just grew another notch of respect for him. For talking to the media the way that he did. Him dropping that pass was crucial. However, I will say that did not lose us the game, man. And I know as a player, you know what I'm saying, you try to put all the onus on you because, hey, man, look here. I let my team down, and I never want to let my team down.
That's who he is. I've seen him do it at Louisiana State few years. Like, and whenever he dropped pass, it was same thing you seen out there. He mad at himself.
Right. You know, but at the end of the day, man, my thing is that, you know, I don't want him to get too low to the point where he doesn't have that dog backing him. You know what I'm saying? For the next following game. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and I brought all of that up to say this. The Commanders, I get pissed off every time I say it and every time I think about it. The Commanders beat us 21-18. Seven field goals, five penalties in the red zone. And we still lost. And we still lost. They beat us with seven field goals. Please, man, elaborate on that, man. Please tell me what you think.
Well, for one, I mean, the seven field goals goes back to tackling. Like, a lot of them guys got hit before they made extra yards to the first down. They didn't get tackled. That's some of it. Why didn't we have two kickers on the field on that roster?
I was about to get to that.
Knowing that he had an injury. With the kicker, we win that game. We win that game.
You know what? I'm gonna go off. I don't give a damn. I'm gonna go off anyway. Because that was not going to be my next question to you, but I got to now. Because you just brought back up burnt feelings, like you said. Why the hell didn't we have elevate another kicker onto the 53-man roster when we only had? Right, I'm not understanding that, but that's the type of things that I'm talking about as far as a coach.
Didn't we learn this last year? If I remember right,
absolutely.
We took Graham Gano into a game, knowing he was injured, and then he got hurt in one kick.
Yes,
and hang on. We didn't have a kicker no more that game. Didn't we learn our lesson?
No, we didn't. But you're right though. We didn't have a kicker no more of that game either, and we didn't learn our lesson. So let me ask you this, man, and I'm just going off the cuff of what you just said. Is Daboll gone next season? Is he gone? Is this his last year? I just got straight up ask you.
Possibly.
Do you think he's doing this shit on purpose? Do you think that he's sabotaging us on purpose and just said to hell with it and I'm going to do it my way like Frank Sinatra? Do you think that's what he's doing?
Not. I don't know. I think some of it's holding back DJ. Because here's the thing. I seen Brian Daboll at Buffalo. I remember seeing that. It was very explosive. Right. Amongst the whole roster of offensive players. Not just Stephon Diggs. Not just Gabe Davis. Yeah. Involving all of them. So you can't tell me that this man can't make Wandell Robinson, Jalen Hyatt, and Malik Nabers work. Every one of them's a gadget player.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Hang on. Now let me add Tyrone Tracy to that. We got another gadget player. Kid has not only been a wide receiver in college, but then started popping off as a running back.
Right.
Gadget player. Why ain't we putting these boys to use? So he could be.
Now,
I'm going to be honest with you. I hope he gets a chance. Because no coach has really ever made Daniel Jones just work. For all we know, that could be. How do we know that letting Daboll go ain't our worst, really, in reality, our worst move? Like, what if this is, like I said, I've always been a Daniel Jones fan. But what if he really is the problem? Like, no coach has ever made this guy work.
Right.
What if he really, and what if we're letting go a hella coach?
Right.
You see what? What if maybe we're making a wrong decision? Like,
or maybe Daboll, because I know he has to say the right things in public, but maybe Daboll never believed in Daniel Jones, And maybe that's the reason why, like we was talking about before, is he not showing the play calling? Is he not opening up the playbook? Is he trying to expose Daniel Jones for the lackluster quarterback that he is, that some people say? You know what I'm saying? Just to let people know, look here, I can't do nothing with this dude, man. Here, now, this is what y'all wanted, right? Maybe
you said something about trading him. If he did that, what would that do to the trade value?
Okay, but guess what?
He's not smart.
No, I got you. I got you. But at the end of the day, if you're going to trade him, like that's why I asked you the question earlier. Depending on what the next two more games come out to, if we're 0-4, let's say for the sake of argument, if we're 0-4, do we still keep him or do we trade him?
Like I said, if there's a good 3-4, round 3-4 or 2-3s, or somebody say Miami, because Miami's in a bad situation. Skylar Thompson or whatever his name is, I've seen enough football out of that dude between the time he's been on the team. He not it.
I got you.
I mean, look at what you've seen when he came in when Tua got hurt. All play ceased to exist.
Yeah.
So that ain't going to work. You know, Mike McDaniel not going to go for that. So now getting back to what we were talking about, if they want him bad enough and they offer it too, yeah, oh yeah, bye.
Bye, peace.
I'd do it tomorrow.
Oh yeah, bye. Get your ass up out of here. Peace.
Do I have hope for him this year if it don't happen? Yeah. Am I gonna boo him when he's walking off the field? No.
No, I'm not gonna do that to him.
And the reason is because I want my team to succeed, whether they're good or not. They're depressing.
Yeah, it's a little bit depressing, man.
But
I'm not going to
think about it. If they're all, if the whole stadium's booing when they're walking off the field, is that making them want to come out and play ball next week? Is that making them want to get excited about playing ball? So, in reality, is that hurting them more? Is that hurting us more? Is that just taking their mentality and throwing it into the ground? I mean, if I'm not going to boo them, no. I'm going to come out the next week and hopefully do good.
No, you know what? You're right on that one. But you know what? It depends on who the boos are to. Now, in hindsight, you know what I'm saying? You're looking at it because the only people you see on the field are the players. So you're booing the players. But could it be possible that the Giants fans are not just booing the players, or maybe not booing the players at all? Maybe they're booing the coaching staff. Maybe they're booing the GM. Maybe they're booing the you know what I'm saying, the owners, you know what I'm saying, by not putting them in position to do what they're supposed to do. So we can have a better product on the field and stop every damn Sunday when we go out in public and people see the jerseys and see the hats and they go, ha, ha, you a Giants fan. I'm tired of getting laughed at, man. I'm tired of getting laughed at.
Yeah.
Feel me? You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of being messed with. You know what I'm saying? Some dude like, man, you know what? My condolences to you and your team. Sometimes we want to slap the hell out of people, man.
I ain't saying we got to win every game. I ain't saying we got to go to playoff every year.
Right.
But can we at least make it competitive?
Right. I get it, man. I get it.
We at least go out with a bang.
Right. Like. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what, man? I got to ask you. Like I said, I've had a ball with you, man. But I got to ask you this one last question, boy, before I let you go. I've asked every Giants fan that I come across this question. And it's always a hot topic. Is Tiki Barber a Hall of Famer?
I could say, yeah. I mean, we ain't had too many Super Bowls, and certain people went off, man. Mm-hmm. And he was one of them. Like, look at all the Hall of Famers and all these other teams. You can't tell me some of our dudes like that can't be them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these dudes won Super Bowls for us, and we're a big piece of it.
Mm.
Anybody that's in that category should be. I could see that.
You know, I'm going to say just it. Like I – okay, go ahead.
Jeremy Shockey even.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him being there. Like, that dude made a lot of big plays in a lot of important times for us.
Absolutely, he did. I'm not mad at that.
Victor Cruz, he made a lot of plays for us in important times. I mean, for several years.
When you talk Hall of Fame, okay, you're talking about a guy who's been doing it consistently. You know what I'm saying? Whatever he's doing it consistently, and he's doing it at an elite level on a consistent basis. Now, yes, Tiki Barber has had 10,000 yards, over 10,000 yards in his career. But the reason why I ask this question to every Giants fan is because of this. And I said this to the last person I talked to. When you talk about Hall of Fame, it's what you do in between those lines. But in today's age, in today's society, in the world that we live in today, a lot of people who are Hall of Fame voters, they got different agendas. So at the end of the day, sometimes it's not about what you do on the field. It's about your perception. It's about your attitude. It's about how you carry yourself. It's about, you know what I'm saying, are you likable? Are you marketable? Whatever it is that their criteria is. And a lot of people say, for example, right? And I use this as an example because even though he didn't play for my team, but take Terrell Owens, for example. To me, Terrell Owens was a first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt. That's not even a question. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of people didn't like him. Why? Because some people thought he was too flamboyant. Some people thought he was too outspoken. Some people didn't like the so-called antics that he did, or whatever the case may be. But he's never been arrested. He's never been in the media for bad publicity or press. You know what I'm saying? He's never did any of those things. But he didn't go first ballot. So at the end of the day, people who have the power to put you in there for whatever personal gripe they have, they can keep your ass up out of there until further notice. And that's why when I asked the question about Tiki Barber, like you said, you know, you can't dispute what he did on the field. But some people may say, well, you know what? I just don't like the dude. I just don't like him because of what he did with this and whatever he did with that.
Do we care about who these people are? Do we care about they want to play football? Like, what are we trying to do? Because here's the thing. Some of those people with attitudes are the meanest, most ruthless football players you'll ever. I hate to tell everybody, Malik, he's got a good attitude. I'll say that. But I know him from LSU. Nah. When all the Giants fans say he's a dog, they're talking about his play, like him on the field.
Absolutely.
As being a Louisiana State Tiger fan, like, we've seen him for several years. When I say seen him, like, yeah, other Giants fans saw flashes of him, highlights. You're going to. But whenever you watch every game, you start seeing how some of these players are. And now Malik's got that dog in him. Like,
absolutely.
And what I'm getting, if you want to get mouthy, he's going to get mouthy. I'll tell you all that right now. Like, he is that. But here's the thing. If he wasn't that way, he wouldn't have the mindset to go out there and do what he does. He does that because he has that mindset. I'm going to hurt you. I won't say the word on your stream, but he made a comment that became it was going around social media. I'm sure you probably know about it. He said, whenever I'm out running around, I'm just a normal person. Like, that's me. He said, when I get on that field, my goal is to F you up.
Come on, son. I got
that's
you.
That's it. And as soon as I say, like, yeah, Malik, yeah. Like, let's go.
Right.
And that's how I want these players to be.
Right.
Just like I said earlier, but with that hit in Philadelphia last night. Like, dude, he hit him and pancaked him to the ground. Like,
right.
We need players like that.
Well, you know what? You know what, Cam? I'm going to tell you right now. I agree with you because guess what? Giants Nation, back in the day, man, we were dirty, man. We had a culture, man. We had a a grittiness. You know what I'm saying? We need to get back to that. I say it all the time, man. We need to get back to New York football Giants. Just
Lawrence, just Lawrence Taylor. What did he? Yes, sir. He's a great. What did he have? An attitude.
Absolutely.
Jeremy Shockey. He's a great. What did he have? An attitude. So, are you seeing my trend here? All these great players have an attitude. Like, you know, either you're going to let me through or I'm going to hurt you and try to get through. I mean, like you said earlier, you said in the very beginning, soft. Stiffen up.
Right.
Let's go play some football. Like, given rules have taken a lot of that away, but no, we just seen a dude do it last night. You can't tell me you can't still make a clean, solid, hard hit. Like,
I got you.
Now, rules have taken a lot of that away. Yes.
Yes.
Like, you wasn't going to play ball like Lawrence Taylor and all.
Yeah,
they
would
ban you from the league.
Absolutely, they would ban you right now. Absolutely, right.
But we got to start making. We got to start making some solid hits. Like, but who knows? Maybe Malik will get all these other players in that. I was talking about earlier, team vibe. Like, maybe Malik will get all these other players in that mindset. Like,
right.
You know, you gonna let me through? I'm gonna hurt you.
You know what? I got you, man. And with that right there,
we're not mean enough.
I just want to tell you, I not mean enough. I got you. Mm-hmm. And that right there is the reason why I like what you were saying earlier about the attitude, because we definitely have to get back to the point where people fear us. The league fears us. You know what I'm saying? And that's where we need to get back to. Even not so much as fear us, at least respect us. That's what we got to get back to. Mm-hmm. So, you know what?
Back to the basics.
But I'm going to tell you something, Cam. I appreciate your time, man.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and let you roll out. But you know what? Giants Nation, I want to give a shout out to you and for your continued love and support. And if you like to be a guest on the Fan Fuel podcast, go to the Giants100.com and fill out the application to join the conversation. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Gary Ward Jr., bringing you the best of all football, all stars, all day. One.